Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Terry Wiese delivers this week's message.
Good morning. Welcome to Crossbridge, and what a beautiful day it is for us to corporately gather together and worship God together so that we can learn about God and know what we believe, because that's vital to our spiritual life and to our physical life, to know what we believe. And so I want to ask you, if you would, go ahead and grab your Bible and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the chair in front of you. Go ahead and grab that Bible and turn to page 981. That'll take you directly to Philippians chapter 3. We begin a new series today called Gaining by Losing. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8 defines our theme for this series. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to read this verse a couple of times together with me. And so what we want to do here is begin with the reference, Philippians 3:8. We'll read the verse together, and then we'll close with the reference, Philippians 3:8. All right, you ready? Everybody ready? You read off the screen, because some of you may have different ones, all right? So different versions. So let's read it all together. Let's start with the reference. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. All right, now let's increase our volume, and those that didn't participate, join in with us together. So let's do this together, and we'll begin with the reference. Ready? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Great job. Now, in order to understand gaining by losing and what that means, is we must begin with changing our worldview. And the question that arises is, what is a worldview? Well, everybody has a worldview. From the tribes in the jungles of Africa and Asia and Central and South America, from the roaming nomads of the deserts of the world, from the classrooms in educational institutions, to the halls of Congress, all the way to the Oval Office in the White House. Everybody has a philosophy of how they view the world. Simply put, a worldview is the way that a human being looks at life, the way we perceive things. One's worldview is the basis for making daily decisions and is therefore extremely important. For example, an apple sitting on a table is seen by several people. A botanist looking at the apple will classify it. An artist will see still life and draw it. A grocer sees an asset and inventories it. A child sees lunch and eats it. How we look at any situation is influenced how we look at the world at large. You see, everybody has a lens through which they interpret where life came from and why bad things happen. It determines how we define reality, our purpose for existing, and as well as how we relate to each other. You see, everybody has a worldview. Now, a Christ follower has a worldview, and that view is seen through the lens of the Bible. An individual with a biblical worldview looks at the world and shifts all the information through the lens of God's Word. Scripture informs his thinking, his behavior, gives his intellect and his moral determinations. The Bible is the bedrock. It is the thing that undergirds his entire life. In fact, it's found in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. But sadly, a majority of believers don't know what they believe and can't tell you what they believe, which leaves them vulnerable to an anti-God worldview simply because they do not know what the Bible teaches. Our worldview is formed by culture. The civilization that we live in, the society, the value systems, the customs, the arts, the heritage with all of its traditions and traits and ideals. Our worldview is formed by culture, but it's also formed by education. What we have been taught or what we're being taught. And please understand that you and I are a product of what we read, watch, and subject our minds to. TV, movies, video games, salacious fictional novels. You see, that forms our world, our worldview also. But our worldview is also formed by our religious views or beliefs. What we have been or what we're presently being taught as a matter of faith influences our worldview. But one thing that really influences our view, and I'm finding it more and more today in our world, is emotions. How we feel about a matter. Well, I just don't feel that's right. It can be so strong that it outweighs any other logic or truth, especially biblical truth. You see, we often form our worldview out of feelings instead of facts, which is totally unbiblical. You see, our worldview should be formed by the Bible, a belief in God's written word and adherence to his teachings. How you and I look at the world is largely shaped by the culture around us. And our culture is largely shaped by the worldview that is accepted by the majority of those that live with, those that you live with. The same is true when you live in a society that is dominated by a media that is anti-God. The culture is ordinarily shaped by the majority, and you and I have to be careful that we do not let this anti-God worldview shape or change our worldview. You see, the culture around us is made up of the sum of everything that is out there, and it is not neutral. The danger for us is that we can become so attached and so enamored with the culture around us that we actually become captive to it. When that happens, the first thing that we begin to question is our worldview. We begin to question the absolutes of God and trust the theories of the world. So Paul lays out for us a very basic Christian principles for gaining and losing that's found in our text. So I invite you, in honoring the Word of God, if you would stand with me as we read Philippians chapter 3, and I want to begin in verse 3 and read all the way through verse 11. Philippians chapter 3, and begin reading in verse 3. For we are the real circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Our Father, as we search the Scriptures this morning in learning from Your Word, that You would mold us and make us, and God, just for the believer, continue the sanctification process for us. But God, today I ask for the lost to be saved. I ask today for the believer who's going through a sanctification process today and every day, that that believer will take adherence to the Word of God today and consider what Paul has to say about gaining and losing and changing my worldview. God, I pray today that our hearts will be transformed by this gospel, that the Spirit would illuminate our minds and our hearts, and that we will fully come to grasp with the intent and purpose of which Paul said these things, that we would bring glory to You today and every day from this day forward. May You be glorified in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul introduces a very simple, basic biblical truth, which in effect will ultimately change your worldview if you adhere to his teaching. You must count everything as loss for the sake of Christ, that you may gain Christ, that you may be found in Christ, that you may know Christ. Listen as I read verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You see, as Paul looks back at his life, he has a lot of good reasons to put confidence in the flesh. In fact, he lists for us reasons for the confidence that he has in his flesh. And verses 4 through 6 that we just read earlier says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. Also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Then Paul writes in verse 7, whatever gain I had. You see, he's referring back to that list of reasons that I just read to you again. You see, it refers to his superiority in the flesh, his gains that he took notice of and counted as valuable. And he says that his achievements were gains. From his perspective, there were reasons for him to put his confidence in the flesh. Paul clearly stated that he had gained profits as a result of his heritage and his strict observance of the law. And then, in verse 7, he considers his most valuable asset in the flesh to be liabilities, in light of his knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord. Think about that. All that he valued, now he's saying, is a liability. He even considers his extraordinary achievement of a faultless record of righteousness based on the law to be worthless in contrast to the righteousness that comes from God. Paul is setting forth this changing of his worldview. Paul is radically declaring to all of us and to the people in Philippi and the Philippians that all his assets, he says, I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, how could that be possible? How could he possibly come to this conclusion? He had status, well-educated, and in his position of stature and power and prestige, he also had wealth. But how could it be possible to draw the conclusion that I can count all things as loss for the sake of Christ? It was that encounter on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, that gave him the freedom to think with a whole new depth and clarity about his life. Came from a biblical worldview. A view looking at this world through the Scripture or through what he knew as the Old Testament. Do you know what changed? Do you know what changed in Paul's life after the road to Damascus where he met Christ? Christ became the goal of his life. He could finally see and understand the true value of his life in the light of Christ. And it wasn't in all these gains that he had been talking about. He concludes in verse 7 with, for the sake of Christ. And you ask yourself, what does that mean? What that means is that Christ is the reason why Paul considers his former gains loss. You see, in verse 7, Paul goes from a plural gain to a singular loss that indicates that Paul added up all his assets, my status. He added up everything he had. He added it all up. And he said this. It became one huge liability. You see, the value of all his advantages of his family, his accomplishments, his social status, and his moral achievements. When he added all those things up, he concluded that all his gains added up to one overwhelming disadvantage, one huge loss. Paul is saying, I am gaining by losing my confidence in the flesh along with these advantages that I've earned and even with the wealth that I have attained. And the question is, what is Paul's reason for considering that these advantages are a total loss? Well, look in verse 8 as I read it to you. Indeed, I count everything, even the things I did not list, as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul's saying, I have counted not only my gains and losses. I count them, present tense, and my attitude hasn't changed after doing this. I don't have any second thoughts about my previous decisions and counting these things as loss. I have no regrets. There are no regrets. These things are a liability to me, and my sole goal in life is Christ. He is of supreme value. And the problem today is that we do just the opposite. We believe that our gain is in our self abilities and confidence and in the wealth that we have and all of the things that have been added to our life, and we see Christ not supremely valuable. Paul commitment to his past decision to live for Christ models for his readers. And Philippians 1:27, he says this, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that," and skip down to another verse, "that I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." What Paul is doing here to the church at Philippi, Paul here is attempting to inspire the Philippians and us as readers by recounting how overpowering experience of counting all things lost in the past could motivate him in the present and give him hope for the future while he endures the present trials and sufferings. Look at how Paul changes from whatever gain in verse 7 to everything in verse 8. Paul clearly is referring to these things in verses 5 and 6. The privileges of his birth and the perfection of his righteousness based on the law are considered a loss because of Christ. But Paul continues to consider everything a loss, all things that encourage confidence in the flesh because of Christ. Paul continues to explain with greater depth the reason for this dramatic or drastic devaluation of everything. It's not worth anything. The phrase in verse 7 tells us, "for the sake of Christ," and it actually amplifies the phrase in verse 8, "because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Paul speaks of this surpassing worth. He stated that the value of knowing Christ. It's so much more than what we give credit to. He's stating that the value of knowing Christ excels and it surpasses all the alternatives, and the surpassing greatness is a decisive, it's superior, it's victorious factor in his life. Far outweighs the value of anything else that he has. Oh, that you and I would have that value of Christ. That we would see that losing our confidence in the flesh and all the assets that we've obtained on this earth are they're a liability to us. When you consider the supreme worth of Christ, far outweighs any value of anything else. When you put the value of knowing Christ on the one side of the balance and everything else on the other side of the balance scale, everything else has no value compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I wish that I could grasp as Paul did, and that you and I could grasp the full meaning of the supreme worth of Christ, and that we could put in perspective that the things that we value as gain are really liabilities. They should be considered loss. Knowing that Christ Jesus, my Lord, changed Paul's view of everything. This is far above just a casual personal acquaintance of Christ. This was a deep, intimate relationship. Paul tells us that this knowledge came about by acknowledging Christ as my Lord. A knowledge that brings about a total submission to every thought, every act in obedience to Christ. All the words that I think I bring into obedience to Christ, all the things I want to say and do say are brought into Christ. knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, he's of supreme value. And it says that Paul reminds us that knowing Christ cost him everything. And yet he tells us that he gains by losing. Listen to what he says, "For whose sake I have lost all things." When Paul says, "I have lost all things," he is referring to the loss of something with the implication of undergoing hardship or suffering. This knowledge of Christ caused Paul to renounce all of his privileges, all the advantages of his social standing and religious achievements because of his commitment to Christ. Paul forfeited everything, and he suffered hardship. And the reason why is because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let me ask you, where is Christ in your priorities? Is he an asset or a liability? Is he an ornament on your table? Or is he the Lord of your life? For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. Are you willing to lose everything you have for the sake of Jesus Christ? That you might gain Christ? For the sake of Christ, that you may gain Christ? Look at the flow of how Paul puts it. And he said, "I did this, I count all things lost for the sake of Christ." Now he's saying, "I count everything lost that I may gain Christ." Paul is saying, "I'm gaining by losing everything," in which he concludes, "I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." That Christ was everything to him. It was his continual conversation. It was his continual thoughts during his waking hours. Everything was about Christ. He was of supreme value to him. He was treasured above everything else. Because Paul's goal was to gain Christ, and anything that stood in the way of that goal must be rejected as utterly worthless and repulsive as garbage. The Greek word here is a term that stresses Paul's total rejection and renunciation of all the things that he had put his confidence in. So he's saying that the privilege and the prestige of being a part of a Jewish community failed in comparison to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So let me ask you, is Christ more valuable than a sport? Is he more valuable than a job? Is he more valuable than your education? Where does he rank in your priorities? Paul is saying, "I wiped all those things away. I gave it all up because it was a liability. And by losing those things, I gain Christ." Oh, that we would gain Christ. Have the worldview that Paul had, a biblical worldview, that everything that proceeded into our life was through the filter of the Scripture. That we wouldn't speak on emotions, we spoke on biblical truth. "Well, I just feel this way." It doesn't matter what you feel, it's what biblical truth has to say. The question that Paul faced, and the question that we are facing right now, is, will I hold on to the privileges of my flesh, my gains, or will I seek to gain Christ? Paul concluded that the choice is clear. I can only gain Christ by considering all the gains of my flesh to be worthless, as garbage. Listen as Paul explains counting everything as lost in the last part of verse 8 and through verse 9. He says in the last part of verse 8, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that has come from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul is explaining why he considers his advantage as a loss. It is for the purpose that I, Paul, may gain Christ and be found in Him. So that being found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. What Paul is doing is exchanging the burden of self-righteousness that came from the law for the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith through Christ Jesus. Let's remember that faith is a continuous confession of total and utter dependence and trust in Christ. Think about that. Faith is a continuous confession of total and utter dependence on and trust in Christ. It's that right standing before God and acceptance by Him. It's the joy of knowing that a repentant sinner has his sin imputed to Christ, and Christ's righteousness has been imputed to him, which is the heart of the gospel. You see, faith in Christ looks away from self-achievement. It just looks away, and it looks to Christ. Paul's goals are all Christ-centered. To gain Christ, to be found in Him, and then look at verse 10, to know Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Paul keeps his focus completely on Christ, and he emphasizes that this relationship with Christ totally overshadows everything else in his life. Nothing rises above Christ. Christ is his priority. He repeatedly expresses his desire to know Christ because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, which is the aim of every step in his journey, is to know Christ until the final step when we will be fully known at the resurrection from the dead. Verse 11. Paul's worldview changed from a religious, secular worldview to a biblical worldview. Everything filtered through the lens of Scripture. Due to Paul's deep and experiential knowledge of Christ that came at salvation and continued through his progressive sanctification, there's still this deep yearning in his heart, and should be in ours, that cries out, that I may know Him. So Paul establishes two purposes in knowing Christ: the power of His resurrection and share His sufferings, or the fellowship of His sufferings. He explains the meaning of knowing Christ in two inseparable aspects of his experience in knowing Christ. He tells us that it is impossible to know the power of Christ's resurrection without participating in His sufferings. Therefore, knowing the power of Christ's resurrection provides the incentive and the strength for Paul and for you and myself to participate and endure the sufferings of Christ. So without the present knowledge of Christ's resurrection power in the midst of our sufferings, we would have no assurance of future victory. thereby our present sufferings in Christ. Becoming like Him in His death, we can conclude with Paul, "For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Do you see how Paul's going here? It's truly about losing everything to gaining everything that is of importance. Many of you may have heard the story of a man named Jim Elliot that had a successful future ahead of him. He was an honor student, an outstanding athlete. He was actually a natural leader with really an outstanding personality. He was a determined young man who saw things through, including his boyhood decision to commit his life to Christ. Jim's desire as he went to college at Wheaton College was to reach the unreached people of the world. And it began to grow while he was in college. Through events, going to Mexico and learning some Spanish, and then eventually making his way through life's course, he ended up in Ecuador and learned and heard of a tribe called the Aka tribe that no one had been able to penetrate. They were some of the most fierce people ever. They murdered for no reason. And so was born the Operation Aka. It was an attempt by evangelical Christian missionaries, Jim Elliot and four other missionaries, to bring Christ to the Aka people of the rainforest of Ecuador. The Akas were isolated tribes because of their violence against both the people, their own people, and those that were outside of their tribe. These missionaries, Jim and his four other missionaries that were working with him, began in 1955, September 1955, flying over the area and dropping supplies and trying to build a relationship and eventually being able to come and pick up stuff that the tribe had left as gifts for them. And dropping these gifts, they began to think there was an opportunity now to break through that barrier of this wickedness of this nation that was killing everybody that came near or tried to penetrate their tribe. After several months of exchanging gifts, on January 3, 1956, they were able, these missionaries, all five of them, were able to land and establish a camp on what was called Palm Beach. It was a sandbar along the Coray River, just a few kilometers from the Aka settlements. On Tuesday, January 3rd, 1956, Jim Elliot and his four missionaries landed there, as I just said. They had been dreaming for years and planning for this moment. Their hearts were set on reaching the Aka Indians with the good news of Jesus Christ. However, on Sunday, January 8th, when all five, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Yodorian, were attacked and speared to death by a group of Aka warriors. Their news of their death was broadcast around the world. In fact, Life magazine covered the event with a 10-page essay of photos and articles. In Jim's journal, was written this. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. People around the world said how senseless and worthless it was to try to reach this tribe. But if you really want to know what the results were, you can go to YouTube and type in Jim Elliot and get the story. But eventually, his wife and Rachel Saint, a sister of one of the other men, Nate Saint, went there and established themselves with the tribe and lived with them. And Steve Saint, if you read his story, begins to tell how that the very man that killed Steve Saint's dad was the man that raised him and came to Christ. And Kiwi came to Christ with everyone else. And so Jim's saying is, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep. All the assets that he had were liabilities to gain what he could not lose. In light of Paul's teaching and the testimony of Jim Elliot, who gave his life for the Akkas along with the four other missionaries, does your worldview need to be changed? From a religious, secular worldview that values everything else and that Christ is a Sunday activity, to true biblical worldview. Does your worldview need to be changed? If so, let me tell you how to gain by losing. You see, you gain by losing, number one, by counting everything as loss. And what that means is that if you choose between Christ and anything else, you will choose Christ every time. That is, even though God does not bring up a crisis in your life, nevertheless, you are ready and you are resolved in your heart that if the choice has to be made, you will choose Christ. The second thing is you'll begin counting everything as loss. And what that means is that we will deal with everything in ways that draw us nearer to Christ so that we may gain more of Christ and enjoy more of Him by the way we relate to everything. That is that you and I will embrace everything pleasant by being thankful to Christ, and that we will endure everything hurtful by being patient through Christ. The third thing is you'll begin by counting everything as lost. And what that means is that you will seek to deal with the things of the world in ways that show that they are not your treasure, but rather that Christ is your treasure. That is that you will hold on loosely to the things that you have. You'll share them generously and ascribe value to those things in relation to Christ's value to you. The last thing you'll do to change your worldview to learning to gain by losing is this. You will begin by counting everything as loss. And what that means is that if you lose anything, or all the things that this world could offer, you will not lose your joy or your treasure or your life, because Christ is your joy, Christ is your treasure, and Christ is your life. That's why Jim Elliot could say, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he could not lose. That is, in the smaller losses, you will not grumble. Philippians 2:14. And in the greater losses, you will not grieve. as those who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. As the praise team comes, I'd like to ask you to stand with me. And I want you to hear Paul's biblical worldview again. Praise team is coming. Your heads are bowed. You're going to take a deep breath. And as you take that deep breath right now, and you slowly exhale, you're going to be thinking about what Paul said, that I count everything that this world has to offer as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. The question this morning is, does your worldview need to be changed? And that's twofold. It applies to two individuals. First, to the Christian who knows Christ, that you need to change your priorities and you need to reevaluate what you assess as valuable and what you assess as a liability. And to those that don't know Christ, that you're not sure that if you were to die, what would happen? This is what you do. You evaluate your life in light of the Scripture that Christ says, without me, you cannot make heaven. That you're a sinner. That all your self-righteousness and all your confidence in the flesh is a liability to you. And your hope is only in Christ. So what will your decision be this morning? What will it be? What are you going to do? You're going to count everything as loss in the light of the gospel and the supreme value of Christ. There's a place to come and pray here. It's a place that you could come. It's just stairs. It's nothing sacred. It's just a place where you can bow down and say, God, I'm wrong. I've been assessing value to things that are liabilities. And to you, who is the greatest asset of all, I've been assigning a loss. Father, please forgive me. Father, I pray for our people to really contemplate on the truths of your Scripture. Lord, that they would put everything in light of the gospel, that they would see Christ as supremely valuable, and understand that all the confidence in the flesh is a liability. All the assets that they have been able to gather together in this life are a liability in the light of the supreme value of Christ. Help them and myself to make the decision today that Christ is everything. And I'll lose everything to gain Christ, to be in Christ, to know Christ. I pray that people will decide today for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.